This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared create collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. So you're going to love this next interview. It's with the director of digital operations from a company called Advocate Printing. They believe in responsibility over transaction. They are deeply embedded in their community in the East Coast in Canada. They're a company of about 500 people, printing company doing all kinds of really wonderful things. And I think you're going to find Jason to be really, he's interesting, he's deeply relational, he's very compelling, and has a real passion not only for the industry, but for his company and for the wonderful things they're doing as a corporation. They really do believe in an ecology of commerce, without a doubt. So do listen in, and there's lots to learn here, and I think you will be spending a little bit of time on their website in the very near future. Don't forget to check out davidpecklive.com. Look for my latest blogs on taking it global, and don't forget, Real Change is still available from amazon.ca.
Well, welcome to another edition of Face to Face. We've got a special guest here today with us, a guy by the name of Jason Hamilton. I believe he's on the East Coast, area code 902. Thanks for joining us today, Jason.
It's my pleasure, David. Thank you.
So you are the director of digital operations at a company called Advocate Printing and Publishing. Advocate Printing and Publishing.
Yep.
Interesting name.
Yes.
Interesting name for a company that's into printing and publishing. Like, do you guys just work for the UN, or
do you
work for the World Bank? I mean, would you just print things for Amnesty International? Tell me more about the company.
Well, the company was founded in 1891. It's a full service print facility, from flyers and newspapers and magazines down to your menus, your business cards, and everything like that. Over the past 16 years, I've been involved with the Advocate, both as a supplier and an employee. The goal has been to diversify and to be able to basically offer a full-service opportunity to the end user. So we incorporated digital print on demand, put a nice signage business into place, content management, photography, video. So really, being able to offer that end-to-end solution for our customers, and in some cases for other printers who may not have the capital or the wherewithal to implement some of these strategies within their business.
Did Advocate start sort of focusing? You hear a lot today about specialization, and you've got to focus and so on. You got to let your customer know what you do in a matter of 30 seconds or less. Did Advocate start out just sort of printing a newspaper, and then kind of branched out from there as they grew to a company of 500 employees?
Yeah, absolutely. Just down from our main facility is the original small stone house where the Advocate newspaper started.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so
there was a newspaper called The Advocate.
Yes, and we actually still print it.
It's
the flagship newspaper. It's the oldest newspaper since 1891.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, and the sales office is still out of the original building down in the little town of Pictou. And then it started to become, people knocking on the door and saying, I kind of need this. Do you think you'll be able to help me? And then it was just really that listening to the community first.
Right.
And to me, the Advocate and the people around it is a community-built business. It's met the requirements of the East Coast.
So are you guys about world domination from a printing perspective, would you say? It sure looks that way when you kind of, you look at the site. One of the taglines is, we know, love, and understand Atlantic Canadian business.
I don't think it's about world domination, but I think it's about market understanding.
Okay.
You know, we are an Atlantic-based business, but, you know, we print for people across Canada and North America, and we even have some relationships with some printers overseas.
Okay.
To us, it's about providing a good quality product, a good relationship, and just being aware and wanting to work with our customers to improve their business with our product.
Do you work with the small mom and pop shops too, or are you guys just working with sort of your larger clients?
No, to me, a customer or a client really doesn't have a size or a number. Mm. You know what I mean?
It's good.
I think everyone has an offering. There's some small printers that we assist and try and give them some of our services to help them improve their position. But you know, we print the $1 million customers, and we print the Jones Flower Shop down the street that needs 500 business cards. You know, so everyone's important to us.
Everyone's important to you. That's a great tagline. And I think, you know, it's interesting that you say that. So my next question is going to, I think, kind of, you know, pull us back into the business talk anytime you like. But I'm fascinated by a couple other angles. Those who listen to my podcast Face to Face will know where I'm going with this. But, you know, the name of your paper or your company is wonderful, Advocate. Mm-hmm. Well, so presupposes some things and raises some questions for me. What were you guys advocating for in 1891 mm-hmm. that drove, you know, the founder, the president, the executive director to say, I got to get out there and advocate on behalf of something,
yeah.
And I'm gonna start publishing this newspaper. I mean, that was a really interesting time. I mean, Mark Twain was writing back then. We had, you know, there was some really horrible things going on from a human rights perspective in the Congo. You know, the Congo Reform Association grew out of England. I mean, it's an amazing time.
It
makes me wonder what was going on
down here.
Yeah, exactly.
What some people don't know now. The area that the main plant is in is called Pictou County, but the small little town where the building is called Pictou, and I think it's a population of 2,600 people.
Right.
But back then, this is the original Scottish settlement.
Okay.
So a lot of it was about making people aware about what was happening back in the motherland, if you want to call it that, and, you know, the changes to new Canadians and new opportunities. So it was really a vessel to spread content and messages and awareness of things that were happening in this area, because, you know, back then to drive from the Halifax region up to here probably took them a couple days, you know, so where now you get here in an hour and 15 minutes. So it was really about the community, the awareness, and just bringing people together. Like, you know, I'm from Ontario, and, you know, I've been here for 2 years, but, you know, you go into the grocery store, and even if they don't know your name, but they've seen you two or three times, people say hello. So it's
right.
It's that real bond that everyone has around here, and I think really that's what the message was about when they started the company so many years ago.
So it was just a way of reinforcing that whole notion of community, by the sounds of it, trying to draw people together a little bit more, but also probably providing maybe a voice or an opportunity for people to speak up about certain things, I would imagine, as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, creating a space in a way the newspaper was doing back in the 1890s, which just sounds so crazy to me.
Oh, yeah, and I tell people, it's like, you know, Halloween just passed. Well, people bus from township to township just because they all know each other and they all want to share what one's doing with the other, and it's the community around that, and everyone focuses on the newspaper. I was, we had a booth at one of the, I think it was the Junior Golf Championships down in Halifax,
mm-hmm.
and people who were either from the area that live here currently or who grew up here 50 years ago, they all wanted a copy of the Advocate. So I had to get our plant to ship down like 300-400 newspapers,
wow.
even if they're a week old, because people just wanted that small community-based, you know, communication, the original communication portal, right?
Right. Have you seen, Jason, any of the early copies, the early editions? Are they in frames up around your office?
We do have quite a few. And
I bet you do.
And we used to have a restaurant. We called it the Press Room.
Okay, very nice, yeah.
Right, and And actually, the one wall was all original newspapers behind glass, and that was the decor, right? So when you actually went in there, you could go up and look at a newspaper from 1901 or,
wow.
You know, when Wall Street fell, you know what I mean? It was it was up on the board, so very unique.
Be incredible. And I would imagine they have an archive too, right?
Yes, we do,
Oh, wow, amazing. So I go to your website, I look at About Us, I see a little icon on the bottom of your website, total service with total responsibility. Pretty interesting phrase, learn more. I go up to About Us, and you know, there's a lot going on your website, but what's interesting to me is we got the Bruce Murray Foundation, we got a core leadership drop-down, we got environmental policy, we got business and community links, community involvement.
Yeah.
And I'm going, hang on a second here, something else is going on with this company. There's more going on than meets the eye.
Well, you know what it is? We don't believe in being transactional. We believe in being responsible. If someone's going to trust us to print their product, control how their product's distributed, we have to be more accountable than anyone else. And we take great pride in that. And like I said, it's if Mrs. Murray, who's our owner's mother, is walking through town, you know, it's a small enough town that, you know, if something isn't going right, she hears about it. And we need to be responsible. We have to be cognizant that, you know, we're working for a small community in a big way. So, you know, being responsible to our customers is our key, and trying to provide the best product that we possibly can.
So Bruce Murray, was he the founder?
He wasn't. It's an interesting story because, of course, he wasn't born in 1891. But
right.
Bruce, when he was seven... started delivering newspapers for The Advocate.
Oh, okay.
And then started working here, and then he and three friends saved up some money, went to the bank when we were a lot smaller, of course, and bought into it. And then I think from 1990-96, it was the Murray and the Van Veen family.
Hmm.
And then Mr. Van Veen decided that he was going to retire and sold his shares off to Bruce. There's actually still 9 Van Veens that work here, as well as quite a few Murrays. But Bruce was a patriarch. He really had the vision of, you know, working with brands to help them build. Sobeys is a great example. Sobeys had 2 stores. They were only here. They put in a web press so that they could do different things for Sobeys, and it's been a lasting relationship since 61.
I interviewed a guy just recently, Robert Shirky, who's a environmentalist and a guy who's a global climate change advocate from Toronto. Very measured guy, a lawyer, and just a great, great interview. The tagline on his website is Think Globally, Act Municipally.
Yes.
And so it's about, you know, the world's a big place, lots going on, but you know what? We kind of came to the conclusion, or at least he did in the interview, that we're most of what we do gets done from a social change perspective is local, is community-based, is community-wide.
Absolutely.
How does Advocate feel about that, would you say?
I would say we're dead on that way. It's I had a meeting with our owner this morning, and he goes, I apologize, I have to really cut out. He says, I'm driving down to Halifax to have a meeting on how we can increase job level for the province of Nova Scotia. Well, you know...
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really have, you know, everyone cares to a certain level, but he could just sit there and I have to worry about my business.
Yeah.
But he worries as much about the community and the growth of the province that he was born in, raised in, lives in and works in as much as his own personal.
Yeah, it's great.
Hey, listen, and those are nice things to see, right?
Well, they're amazing things to see. And you know, Paul Hawken in his book The Ecology of Commerce talks about changing the world, and he's definitely a capitalist. There's no question. But but he's got a heart for social change. He's got a heart for the environment. He's got a heart for issues and others.
Yeah.
In a way that I would say you're sort of, you know, traditional capitalist would not have. And so. So I'm kind of interested by your notion earlier. You mentioned everyone cares to a certain level, and I don't know if I totally agree with you on that. Can you
that everyone cares?
Yeah, like I mean,
I think it takes a strong person to care outside of your own box as much as someone like our owner Sean Murray does. I think it's. I'll be honest with you. It takes a special person to be that way, and you know, you couldn't fill a room with 1,000 people and probably knock down 100 that would be on the same level as that. But I think that how much caring that he shows rubs off in a small way.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Even if I, even, and I'll just use myself as an example, and it's not realistic numbers per se, but even if I cared 5% of his 100%, that's 5% that I think others, you know, should strive for. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. And you know, almost like increment, again, this is one of my messages to communicate to students and to people is that, you know, little things make a big difference. Incremental.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And there was an example when I first started here a couple of years ago as an employee. I think everyone knows what WE Day is.
Yes, of course. Yep.
So up here, you know, the community's smaller, you know, and not everyone is on the same pay scale. So Sean worked with the gentleman from WE Day, and he put on his own WE Day up here. So he sat down with some of the leaders of business up here, you know, the Sobeys and everything like that, and they came up with their own WE Day, which was called Strong Song. So they rented out the local arena. Advocate did all of the print and promotion,
right,
and brought in everyone here, and we had our own version of WE Day just for this local community. Now, even spending 2 hours there for myself was just, you know, it was, I don't know, it just changes your outlook on...
Well, how can it not, right?
Right.
You got to ask the question, if it doesn't get you thinking about a few things as you get into your car and drive home, or if it doesn't change you in some way, there's something radically wrong, right?
Something wrong with you,
yeah,
right? And,
yeah.
And to me, I know others put in 30 hours, others put in 4 hours, but I firmly believe that 2 hours that I did made a difference for
mm-hmm.
someone else,
mm-hmm.
but it made a big impact on me as well, and... You know, the next time that comes around, I'll contribute more. And you won't second-guess your
right.
commitment to it, right?
Do you think, you know, you talked about your 5% next to Sean's 100%. Do you think your 5% has always mattered? In other words, I'm not convinced that people think their 2 hours makes a difference. I'm not convinced people think that their vote really counts. And when you look at the
yeah.
Ontario election recently, it was pretty pathetic,
yeah.
our turnout. I mean, abysmal, actually.
Yeah. Yep.
So why is that? Because everybody thinks politicians are liars? I don't think so. I think
no.
there's more to it than that. And I think part of it is, oh, these are too big, these problems. I can't help, so therefore I'm not even going to bother. And I love what you said, that, you know, my 2 hours made a difference. Or at least that was the implication to me. My,
yeah.
You know, my 5% of Sean's 100 is going to change something about this world that I live in.
Well, I think the thing that happens is Sean doesn't have to acknowledge it in terms of coming up, seeing you down, and just praising you for that 2 hours. The fact that Sean comes up, drops you a wink, or just shakes your hand and says thank you,
right,
that means a lot. Or
sure
that Sean can walk through the facility and go up to the guy who is spending an extra hour, even though he's getting paid, cutting down a job, and it's midnight, him going up and say, hey, Paul, thanks, and giving him a handshake, to me, those things are priceless, and I think those are those small little things that make people feel that their little bit of engagement matters, you know, if that makes sense. Like, I just think that kind of feedback, that top-down feedback makes people think that they're actually part of something. And,
yeah, which is, well, I mean, it sounds like this family or this company really practices what they preach. I mean, this is not about just greenwashing. This isn't just about putting stuff on our website. Hey, yeah, we're total responsibility. We are. No, we really are.
Right.
And this is how we live our lives too. And you want to see that? Come on inside and see those moments where Sean connects with somebody at a director level and shakes a hand, and you've got that kind of commiserate. Well, you know what? They're building community internally, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Exactly. We did a calendar last week for one of the food banks, and, due to some weather, things were running late. Well, Sunday morning, Sean came in, two of his kids, packed up his truck, drove an hour and a half to one of the small cities, and dropped off the calendar.
Wow, that's pretty darn impressive.
Right? So people remember those things. Or, you know, we volunteered to marshal a walkathon or do things like that. Or, we sponsored the Pride Parade in Halifax this summer. And, you know, one of the divisions that I manage is the signage. So we took one of our vans, we wrapped the van in rainbow, and myself and one of my other team members, we went down, we got some rainbow wigs, we packed up the van, and we entered in the thing. And it's just, it's about supporting community. It doesn't matter what it is, you know, as long as, you know, it's respectable, and, you know, not getting into anything that is against community awareness and positive message, right?
So you've heard of the triple bottom line?
Yes.
Yeah. So it sounds like that's something that's clearly informed Advocate for years at all levels.
And yes.
I find it fascinating. I mean, it sounds like a book should be written about the structure and the way this company teased itself out. I mean, the history alone is fascinating.
Yeah.
But the fact that you guys have been operating in a triple bottom line kind of way for many, many years, you know, the liberals now are talking about people, planet, and prosperity, not just people, planet, and profit. And I think prosperity is a nicer way to put it. I think it's richer.
Yep.
I think it's more comprehensive. How do you think, why do you think that's been such a part of, you know, the structure, the DNA of Advocate for so many years?
The strongest point of any business is the people, right?
Yeah.
And
you know, it sounds so corny on one level, but
it does, right?
It's so true, right?
Coming from, you know, as they say down here, coming the upper Canadian, coming down into the, you know, the family oriented East Coast style of living. I'll be honest with you, and as like you said, as corny as it sounds, it's the people. It really is the people. It's down here, especially at the Advocate. It's the strongest intellectual property that we have are the people.
Right.
You know, a press is a press, piece of software is a piece of software, but the people that, whether they're on the magazine side, from the Metro Guide side, whether they're from the any one of the 12 newspapers, whether it's from my commerce team, whatever it is, it's just the pride and it's the people. You know what I mean?
Do you think this kind of model scalable, Jason? I mean, so, you know, Pictou County, 2,500 people, 100-year-old history, or 120-year-old history.
Yep.
Could this have happened in New York or Toronto or Dallas, Texas?
I think there are other printers that are like this. I think it's the only thing that makes it unique is really the geography and the demographics, because there isn't, like in Ontario, you know, there's what, 650,000 printers, do you know what I mean?
It's right.
You become one of many.
And there's
many that do a lot of great things. Like, you know, Jay Mandarino does a lot of great things for underprivileged kids with his skate park and everything like that. Like,
right.
Those are great things that Jay Mandarino does. And Sean does great things here. And there's many other printers that do great things, Hemlock and so forth. I think that the thing that helps here is it's a smaller population, whether from Halifax all the way up to Newfoundland, it's a smaller population, and it is community driven.
Yeah, sure it is. Yeah,
you know, on the board I sit in Toronto, we talk about, you know, flyers and people receiving flyers in the mailbox and all this and that. If you went to some of the rural communities here and said, by the way, you're no longer getting a flyer, you're getting a PDF email to you, it would be anarchy, right? It's a totally different perspective where people sit and wait for that bundle.
Of course they do.
Flyers to come.
Yeah.
And it's that same sort of thing. They wait for that, you know, the parade. They wait for the bake sales. They wait for the specific concerts.
Yeah,
they wait for... It's just the geographical and demographic.
Well, do you know what? I think actually the fact that we've lost that to some degree, or at least parts of our culture have, I think it's a bit tragic, at the risk of sounding a little old fartish and nostalgic. I think, you know, I mean, I've been introduced to the garage sale by my wife Elizabeth and her mother about 10 years ago, and there's something kind of fun and community oriented about it that I turned my nose up at for years, and I just thought, oh, people sell junk at garage sales. Well, the truth is they don't. There's lots of good stuff at garage sales.
Absolutely.
And you get good deals, and you find stuff that you, holy smokes, I forgot about this. This will be great. I'm going to get one of these for my kids, you know. But I think there's something about it relationally, and I think you're talking about the difference between the flyer versus the PDF, the bake sales, et cetera. There's something very, you used the word before, you know, it's not transactional, you know, there's a relational component that clearly small communities seem to have access to, but clearly also Advocate has has been able to translate that into the corporate kind of an environment, which I find fascinating, actually.
And we do that within the product that we offer. Like, we do understand that there's a part of society that still wants that tangible, you know, printed piece. We also understand that there's that area that solely wants it through social or a digital experience, and an e-flyer, an e-paper, everything like that. And then there's others, like we did one of our magazines, East Coast Living, last month, where we integrated augmented reality into the printed piece. So there was a segment of our audience that wanted to look at the printed page and then go to a YouTube video or go to a web link and everything like that. But there was enough feedback that said, I don't want you to take away the printed material. So I want the coolness, but I still want to be able to put the magazine in my briefcase or in my purse or on my coffee table. So we're aware of those changes, and we believe in bringing those to, I call them cultures, to be honest with you. It's beyond technology. It's beyond a platform. It's really two cultures coming together and having a strong relationship.
How come on your site, I was on your community site, I see all these organizations you're involved with, you know, the Feed Nova Scotia, Family SOS, United Way, Johnny Miles.
Yep.
I mean, so many different organizations that you guys are connected to in one way or another, helping out, coming alongside, however you want to say it. And yet, you know, I don't see anywhere on your website, and I haven't gone that deep yet, but the phrase corporate social responsibility, I don't see that. And that's not a criticism. In some respects, I actually think it's a strength. Tell me more about that. Was that a conscious decision?
It was a conscious decision, but it's a decision that, you know, we review sort of quarterly.
Okay.
We're actually going through the process. One of my team members is actually working on the site right now, so she's restructuring what the message looks like.
Oh, okay.
Very much the same content in terms of this is who we are and this is what we believe in, but in some of it, it will sort of speak to what our corporate responsibility is. To the not just the employees, but to the business of Nova Scotia and the business of Newfoundland and so forth. So in some ways it's changing, and in other ways it's really about concentrating on us and our neighborhood. So.
I just wondered if there was almost not a cynical edge to that, but you know, you guys have noticed that there almost seems to be a trend away from CSR in a way.
Yeah.
In the sense of, you know, you guys have always been relational. I think people are starting to get a sense of, hang on, you can't just be transactional about this. You can't just, this isn't about greenwashing. This isn't just about branding and messaging. We actually, holy smokes, we got to mean what we say here.
Well, and I say to people, why is someone from Vancouver willing to get print from us when they could get print from someone down the street?
Interesting. Okay. Tell me more about that.
Well, to me, it's not the technology. It's the people. It's the process. We actually have one customer that we print a specific project for, and I apologize, I can't say their name, but they actually have their own print facility.
Wow.
Okay. But the fact that we take their project on, there's a personal twist to it. We use a print partner in Ontario to do it. I fly to Ontario to do the press approval on request of the owner of that company, and their multi-million dollar company. And the reason is they know we're going to be there. They know we're going to care. And they don't care that they have to ship it across the country to get it. They just know that we're dedicated to the process, and we're not just worried about when we're getting paid.
So do you think, I mean, it sounds like you've already answered my question, but do you think some of your clients are actually working with you? Okay, so you got this wonderful relational side, but the value out of you also giving back into your community in such a huge way, the fact that Sean's out delivering things with his son, do you think that's brought you business?
Oh, I absolutely believe so, especially within this province, because, you know, word of mouth in a province like Nova Scotia and the province of New Brunswick is everything. You know, you're talking about 300,000 to 500,000 compared to 5 million with Toronto, GTA, and everything like that. So, you know, the word of mouth and, you know, being socially responsible to your environment is a big thing here. You know, it's a very big thing.
How does, you know, I'm kind of interested to know from your perspective, how things are operating internally. Obviously, this guy and others within the community of advocate are living out what they believe in from a community perspective, from a relational perspective. You know, do you guys have do you guys do jumping jacks together in the morning? You know, do y'all meet in the cafeteria and you know, do you have annual chess gatherings? I mean, how are you maintaining that kind of a environment?
Well, I think, you know, the management structure, you know, the website, you know, they have sort of the corporate governance that, you know, really it's, you know, a couple of VPs and a couple of directors that report into the owner, and we communicate. And whether it's a phone call, whether it's an email, whether it's a Skype, whatever it is, we communicate very openly, you know, and we're not a bunch of yes men. We all have our own ideas. I think we're responsible in the fact that we can sit around a table and work multiple ideas into one strong strategy, because not one person's idea is foolproof. And I think because we believe in what we do, it's a passion.
Like I said
to you earlier, I've been doing this since I was 16 years old, and I started really in the traditional space. My first job was contacting film and, you know, doing touch-up and small stripping on light tables at 16 years of age. And, when you do those things, you have a strong respect for the environment that you're in. And to me, this is still an art form. As digital as it's becoming, it's still an art form, and it's still a passion. And when the four of us sit in a room, there's a passion behind it. And, Sean has a lot of interests, community and working with the local and provincial governments. We have the magazines. Sean's got a couple software companies and everything like that. But in the end, it comes down to the passion that we have for this. When I see one of our magazines on the newsstand, I take pride in that. And I'm a very digital guy, but I'll tell you right now, at least once or twice a day, I will go and stand next to one of our three web presses and just watch the job run.
Do you know what? I worked at a Quick Copy
many,
many years ago. I did graphic arts as a teenager in high school at Thistletown Collegiate in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved, I was hours away from taking a printing apprenticeship. I became an electrician instead. And I loved the sound. I loved what little I knew of the process of printing, how it went from kind of idea to ink on the press. And I loved watching press men and women putting the ink on. I loved textures. And the smell of ink is got, I don't know, there's something there for me.
Well, my dad has a picture of me when I was 7 years old sitting in the company they worked for. They used to make ink and graphics, and I was sitting in the ink lab, sitting there with a white coat on, too big for me, just watching and learning and smelling the ink. So it's just something that I've always loved, and Sean loves it. You know, unfortunately, Bruce passed away too soon.
Yeah.
Sean was, I think, 34 years old and took the bull by the horn and grew the company and committed himself to it. And, if you ever get the opportunity to meet Sean, he's very intellectual, has a lot of great ideas. He's very much an entrepreneur. And,
sounds like it.
And I give him the utmost respect because, I'm sure Sean could have done anything he wanted in the world, just the way that he is, but he chose to, follow in his dad's footsteps and make his dad proud and his mom proud, and I respect that fully.
Sounds like he's done an incredible job.
Yeah.
Listen, one last question before we
wrap
up. Where are the opportunities in the printing industry? What's going to change in the next few years? Clearly, things are going to lean more towards digital, but there's always going to be old farts like us who still like the printed page. I love books. I'm an academic. I got book. My desk is covered in books. I get digital. I get Twitter. I do get it. But please let me mark up my book. I like to write on the pages. I like to go to the index immediately. There's something about it being tangible. Anyway,
I'm with you on that. Listen, I tell people, I say, print runs, print production is always going to slow down. It's an inevitable fact, right? It's paper consumption is going down, this, that, and everything. I think print is going to get better, though.
Huh.
I think that people are concentrating more on what they're printing. I was in England a couple of years ago and talking to a print provider, and he said that he's actually spending more on print now than he did 5 years ago, but he's spending it to make it better. And I think as long as we drive strong education around print, and that's why I sit on boards and I love talking about the direction that both digital and print can work together, I think if we're strong in our message and strong in our belief, the two are going to work together for a long time to come. And
right.
I'm the same as you. I love my iPad, but I love picking up a magazine. I love picking up a newspaper. I think the opportunity is just working in a strong, sustainable environment. Mm-hmm. And if we can make our customers sustainable by providing them quality products and full service, so going in and saying, I can print this for you, I can do photography for you, I can do commerce,
fine.
And I think the more that printers evolve in terms of their offerings, and there's a lot of good printers across Canada that are doing so, you know, Kober out of Kitchener, Hemlock, CJ's, ourselves, there's a lot of printers that are looking to provide more to the customer base, and I think it's going to be fun and exciting. I would never tell someone not to get into print.
Interesting. So it's not—it's definitely not a dying business as far as you're concerned.
You know what? It's changing and it's evolving.
Right.
I posted on my personal Twitter and my business Twitter. You know, I'll do it maybe once a month or once every 2 months. Print is not dead. And I even have a T-shirt in the back of my office that I hang on the wall, and it says "Born to Print." And I don't care if it's signage. I don't care if it's labels. I love packaging. It's all a beautiful thing to me.
Very neat. I love what you said early on, almost right out of the gate on our interview, how you felt Advocate was based on this notion of listening to the community.
Absolutely.
And I don't know. I think there's a huge opportunity there for development workers, for corporate America, big oil and pharma, for community-based organizations. We got to listen a little more.
I tell people it's the most difficult thing to do, but if you can ever capture the process or you know, just get really good at it, the world is
it's going to be a better place, I think, isn't it?
Oh, it's just
it's going to have to be.
It's the greatest thing, right?
Yeah.
And I tell the salespeople, I said, just go and listen. Listen to everybody, and everyone will do well.
Well, thanks, Jason, for joining us today. I really appreciate it. I really do. We can't believe we've spent about 35 minutes on the phone talking about business and social change and the world being a better place. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. My pleasure. Thank you for your time, David.
Jason Hamilton today from Advocate Printing, check them out, advocateprinting.com, really interesting business in Atlantic, Eastern Canada, doing some amazing things in the community and amazing things from a printing perspective, and lots of lessons there to learn, I think. So once again, Jason, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, David. Thank you.